This is Election Night Live
on Leeds Student Radio.
Destiny's Child, Independent Woman, what a tune. We are here on Leeds Student Radio live with you throughout the night until midday tomorrow, bringing you the latest on the general election. Right now, I've got Ed Hardy in Westminster. Hi, Ed.
Hi, how are you?
Brilliant. How's it all going there? Tell me.
It's good. We're hearing rumours down here. They are unconfirmed at the moment, but Morley and Atwood, which is the Shadow Chancellor Ed Balls' seat, might be lost tonight. It's going to be certainly an extremely close contest, but we're hearing he might actually lose his seat.
Brilliant. So, I mean, where have you heard this from? What are people saying about him?
So we're hearing from people who've been doing the exit polls up there. We've heard from them and party members. Obviously, we're at an event where it's possible the information has been skewed. So I would like to stress this isn't definite, but it is entirely possible and one we really need to be looking at very closely, I think. And if he does lose it, it will be a big loss to the Labour Party to lose such a big hitter. Definitely a Portillo moment there.
Absolutely. And tell us, what is the atmosphere like down in Westminster?
Again, it's getting very exciting here. There's with news like this rolling in, even if it's a very close election in constituencies like this, it's really exciting. They're really in a jubilant mood down here.
Awesome. It sounds brilliant. And we will, of course, be coming back to you later in the night as the results unfold. Thanks very much, Ed.
See you later.
This is Election Night Live
on Leeds Student Radio.
You are listening to Leeds Student Radio. My name is Georgia and I'm in the studio here with Toke, Tim and Ulrich. We are bringing you the latest from the general election as the events unfold throughout the night. We've had such an exciting show so far with bringing you live from Westminster, from Sunderland, and later in the night we'll be live from the Leeds Counts as well. Toke, we're going to talk about something now that's quite new to this election, political betting.
It's such an interesting subject because usually people have been looking at polls when they wanted to know what was going on. So they've been trusting YouGov or they've been trusting these different polling companies, Lord Ashcroft and so on, but political betting is becoming more and more of sort of a science that's crowd-funded. So it really had a breakthrough in the UK with the Scottish referendum, where the entire betting market was projected to be around 10 to 15 million pounds. This general election will break all records. And Ladbrokes are estimating that the entire market is worth 100 million pounds. And that's a lot of money.
Should we expect that to be here to stay, being that the Scottish referendum was last year and this is a general election year?
It's only going forward. It's one of the few areas for betting companies that's actually moving forward, that's actually growing. And I think it's because there is such an excitement. Like we previously, someone in the studio described the general election as a bit of a Eurovision night. There is so much excitement at stake and it's very, very easy to place a few bets as well. I personally did it on behalf of everyone here in the studio. And I'm going to get embarrassed in a little bit, but I'll be happy to share my £2 bet with you.
I want a good share in the profit because I feel like I encouraged you to do this.
Yes. So, well, the first bet I placed was very unexciting. It's that we won't know, we won't get a government confirmation until the 17th of May or even later than that. Second bet I placed, and we'll know about that very, very soon, is that both Nick Clegg and Nigel Farage will lose their constituencies. £2 on that as well.
And optimistic.
Very optimistic. speaking of optimism, I also bet £2 on the voter turnout, because here in Leeds and on campus we've been spending so much time getting students to register and telling students why their votes are important, and I felt that that had to translate into a national turnout as well.
What did you bet on the turnout though?
That it will be between 70% and 75%. Last general election it was 65%, so
oh,
we're talking
goodness.
About a slight increase.
Okay.
Any other bets?
Yes, I've also, because I've liked this hour and 40 minutes so much, I placed a bet that there will be a second general election in 2015 as well.
So if all of these cost you £2, what's the likelihood you're going to make any money?
I'm a gambling person. I'm not a gambling person, but when I am, I like to go for the more risky stuff. So it'd be fun if the reward was bigger. Besides that, I did it with your money as well on behalf of everyone in the studio tonight. So
I mean, what kind of odds are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about all in all, if everything goes well, we'll have about £22 to put in the bar.
Drinks on you.
That's exciting.
Drinks on me. Or maybe just £22 worth of old bar breakfast. That's also quite possible. But Georgia, what an exciting night so far. We're breaking from Sunderland 3 times. We're getting the latest rumors from Westminster. And the next few hours, wow.
I completely agree. The atmosphere here in the studio and in Leeds' office in general has been amazing. Tim, what's been going on with you?
I got a bunch of rumors in my hand that people have been sliding me. The rumor about Ed Balls losing, he's claiming that the Tories are spinning that. So he's claiming that is not true at all. If you're watching TV at home, you've seen Ed Balls on television for a while there. Also, earlier I made a mistake and said that the Central turnout was up. It was not up, but the Sutherland West turnout is up 0.4%. And there was also a punch out outside of a primary school, and a voter was arrested.
Oh my goodness! Do you want to expand on that?
I don't have anything.
In Sunderland.
No, in Portsmouth.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you know, they really are. They take it seriously up there. So, Toke, I hope you're feeling good about your bets, because right now we've got a bit of Nina Simone.
Yes.
The amazing Nina Simone with Feeling Good there. You are listening to Leeds Student Radio live from your university union. We've been going for the past hour and 45 minutes, and we are with you until midday tomorrow, I am excited to tell you. So in the studio, it's me, Georgia. I'm with Toke, Ulrich and Tim, two of our political specialists. And we're now going to have a little chat about battleground seats. So Ulrich, start us off.
Yes, it's always exciting with the battleground seats. I think Tim is updated on it more than I am.
Yeah, sure. Tim, let's hear from you.
All right. I'm pretty excited about a number of seats. We heard a rumor about particularly Farage's seat in the South.
Yeah.
And we're wondering if he's going to come in third, if he's going to come in second, if he's going to come in first.
It was so close. It was about 2% between Labour and UKIP when we saw the polls.
In addition, we're wondering about the heavyweights a little bit, but the marginal seats in particular, of course, we're looking at Clegg's seat in Sheffield. That's another seat that where everyone's pretty excited about.
We're really excited about our own Leeds Northwest, which is constituency polling neck and neck between Lib Dem darling and Labour newcomer.
I'm not gonna go ahead. Sorry.
A lot of our listeners now and a lot of our students have been voting to decide that particular constituency. So there are these few very, very important constituencies that are going to be decided throughout the night. And usually at elections, the marginals are between Labour and Conservatives. But this election, we've seen a lot of three-way marginals as well, which is a very, very interesting phenomenon, because it makes all predictions even more and more explosive.
And I think Sheffield Hallam is going to be another quite contentious topic. I think a lot of students will be very interested to see what happens there to Nick Clegg. What do you guys think?
Well, students in Sheffield have been campaigning really, really hard to punish him for his perceived failure to deliver on his promises on 9K fees. Well, on 0K fees, I suppose it is. And it'll be really interesting to see if these student campaigns, they'll actually work. In a way, just because it's students and just because it's young people, I really, really hope that they get their voice on the map and get something done. I hope student turnout will be surprisingly high. And also, in a way, I hope that Nick Clegg will lose purely for the fact that we now have money on it.
I think, you know, tuition fees are always a very controversial topic, and we don't need to get into it now, of course, but they do serve to bring the student population into the conversation. That directly impacted us, and, you know, it didn't go by unnoticed. That caused uproar on a national scale, and I think that's now helped to get students involved and engaged.
Do you think that potentially, if we see, as was speculated, if we see further rises in tuition fees, that we'll see a reaction as strong from the student body and student population again?
I don't know. It's really hard. I mean, when Miliband announced that he wanted to reduce the fees, I personally thought that money would be better spent increasing, you know, maintenance.
The maintenance fee. I was going to say that.
You know, it's really, a lot of people in the middle get caught out when they can't, you know, afford the extra that, you know, they don't get the grant, but they have to make it up. And I think if the fees were to go up again, there would be a strong student reaction. I'm not sure if it would equal, you know, people might now think this is just our lot. We'll have to put up with it. What's your personal opinion?
Yeah, well, Students come out of university here in the UK with an average debt of 44,000. That's incredible, and it's a rough way to kickstart a career or to settle down into a adult life when you're already behind like that. Similarly, maintenance loans right now simply aren't enough to maintain a meaningful, healthy lifestyle in most big cities with the cost of living that are rising and rising and rising. So I think that this is a problem that has to be addressed, and politicians will need to address it as soon as possible. If not, I hope there'll be a strong reaction from students.
I'm completely with you guys on maintenance fees. It's interesting because I thought that maintenance was covered in their loans, and I was fascinated to find out that wasn't the case because, of course, in the States we have astronomical loans, but in the least bit, they consider maintenance within it. So your housing, your board, even your books are in your fees. So it is higher, but it does cover. It try to cover everything.
And maybe this is the point after broadcasting for an hour and 50 minutes where I just can't help myself anymore, and I tell everyone that where I'm from, not only is higher education free for 6 years.
Oh, boy.
But you also get a government check each and every month worth about £550. So you have enough to pay your rent, and that's free of charge. On top of that, it's even possible to loan even more money. So I guess what I'm trying to say, my big point is that other options are possible and other scenarios are possible. It requires a fight and requires a strong political voice. But if you just look a little bit around in the world, you'll see that it's possible. Students don't need to be the first ones to be sacrificed every time someone's being put on the political altar.
And I think, you know, to come back from that, also, the Danes have such high turnout at elections. You know, perhaps if, you know, students were listened to and prioritised, we'd get better engagement. Why do young people feel disengaged? Well, it's because we are the ones that keep getting hit hard.
Yeah, and it's a vicious circle. Because as long as old people will vote, then pensions will be protected, and old people will keep voting, and pensions will keep being protected. Whereas with young people, they'll vote less and less, and then they'll get disregarded more and more, and they'll vote less and less again. And Danish turnout, just to brag a little bit more, was at last general election 88%, if I remember correctly.
You are listening to Leeds Student Radio. We are live. We've had such an exciting night here so far. Our show is only with you for a few more minutes, but we are crossing live down to Old Bar to get the latest from Florence and Shreini. Hey, Florence, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello, lovely to hear from you. The atmosphere is still really, really hyped up here. There's actually a lot of booing and cheering going on. People are really, really getting passionate about the results.
So I'm here with Ben, and Ben, I want to know, are you having a good night?
I'm having an absolutely wild night. I didn't realise that elections could be so much fun. It is absolute debauchery down here.
Are you planning on staying all night at the Old Bar until 6 a.m?
Yes, that is currently the plan. I mean, I've just had my second Guinness, and my nickname's One Beer Ben, so I'm pretty wavy. I'll probably be here all night.
So you're definitely up for the political election. So I want to ask you, do you feel that the coverage in the media has allowed you to understand politics a lot more, get what each party is about?
Definitely. For someone, a political newbie like me that literally has no idea between a consistency and a seat, there's been lots of news aimed at that, sort of breaking it down. There's some nice YouTube videos, like 2-minute summaries of people's policies. I couldn't be bothered to read the whole manifesto, so I just watched those, and that was a nice way to sort of break it down.
Well, that's good. So, okay, forgetting about all the policies, who do you reckon has the best personality to lead our country?
So, on the record, Farage is a wanker, but sorry.
Okay, I'm very sorry.
I
just like
Boris
to apologise for the swear there.
I think a man that can couple such a flamboyant personality with such bouncy hair should definitely lead.
That's great. Florence, you had a question for Ben.
Yes, in the leading on from that, really, do you think that it has become too much about the party leader and their personality and less about the party and their politics?
I think it's definitely become more of a... sort of criticising the person's character rather than objectively viewing the policies. The best example I can think of is the Ed Miliband bacon sandwich incident, where the whole country just saw the guy as an absolute tool just because he ate a bit of bacon that was too hot. I mean, guys, come on, we're supposed to be the cream of the crop here. Let's think a bit more objectively.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you have a really, really good rest of the night. And enjoy your Guinness.
Thank you very much,
Georgia,
Florence.
Back to you.
Thank you. I'd just like to apologise one more time for that naughty word that slipped in there. I think One Beer Ben may have already had one too many. But that was brilliant. Speaking to Florence, they are live downstairs in your university union. Do go and say hi. They will be there with you throughout the night as we await our free breakfast in Old Bar. So next up, I mean, that is the end from us. It's been Georgia, Toke, Tim and Ulrich. Very excited to be with you here this evening. And of course, like I said, we are broadcasting until midday. So that's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And next up, it's a bit of Kanye West.